Good morning. Gemar Tov. I feel like we're all coming off of this unbelievable high from Yom Kippur. We have this intense experience Yom Kippur with this unprecedented throughout the year relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you wake up the next morning and maybe you feel like you need a coffee, or maybe you feel like, okay, now what? We worked so hard for 40 days to get to this point. Now what? So really embroidered into the fabric of the Jewish calendar, Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah have hidden within them the answer to this question of now what? What do we do for the rest of the year? Is there a way to hold on to that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we perpetuate what we experienced yesterday and the build-up for 40 days that ended in this crescendo of Yom Kippur? So there's a very interesting phenomenon. We know that most Chagim in Judaism have a story. Pesach has a story, Hanukkah story, Purim story, right? So what's the story with Sukkot? So we know that it says, Leman yedu dorotechem, ki v'sukkot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael. So that you should know, Hashem says, that in b'nei Yisrael, in the Midbar, I protected you, I kept you in Sukkot. Okay, that's great. That happened in the Midbar. Anybody know when that was, the Midbar? The Midbar happened right after Yitziat Mitzrayim. So really what we should be doing is putting away our Pesach dishes, and the next morning we should be celebrating Sukkot and putting up the sukkah. After all, we're celebrating Hashem's protection that we had from the Ananei HaKavod. That should come right after Pesach. So the Vilna Gaon asks the question of why do we celebrate Hashem's protection on Sukkot? Just so we understand what we're celebrating in these Ananei Kavod with Hashem's protection, we have to understand and remember what the Ananei Kavod did for us. We know that Chazal tell us in the Midrash that the Ananei Kavod acted as a ricochet. If anybody, any enemy came and shot arrows at the Ananei Kavod, immediately they would bounce back. They would bounce them back. The Ananei Kavod protected us from the weather in the wilderness. The Ananei Kavod, and here's my favorite part, laundered the clothing and kept the clothing fresh so that there was no need to ever send anything out to the dry cleaners or go shopping. So we had the Ananei Kavod, and all in one it was the Iron Dome protecting us from weapons. It was a dry cleaning service, and it was the best windbreaker that you could wear. But why now? Why on Sukkot? The Vilna Gaon asks this question, and he says, you know what? Really, we're not celebrating the Ananei Kavod's protection that Hashem provided us with after Pesach. What happened? The Ananei Kavod were with us, but then they disappeared. What was the cause of that disappearance? The cause of that disappearance was the Chet Ha'egel. That's it. Vanish Hashem's protection, and vanish with us, with it, the providence and the care that are really symbolic, really symbolized by these Ananei Kavod. And they go away. And Am Yisrael is left to the elements. Literally, physically, spiritually, left to the elements. But, alas, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for forgiveness. And we know that on Yom Kippur, Am Yisrael is forgiven. And through a cheshbon that the Vilna Gaon works out, that if you want you could look afterwards in your sources, the Vilna Gaon figures out that the day of the return of the Ananei Kavod was actually Tet Vav Tishrei, and that when we celebrate Sukkot, we are celebrating not that Hashem gave us Ananei Kavod, but that there was the return of the Ananei Kavod. And we're going to see that the return of the Ananei Kavod is so much more significant than just the existence of the Ananei Kavod in the first place. And we're going to see this through a Gemara that tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so desperately to save Am Yisrael from destruction after the Egel, Hashem appeared to him as a shliach tzibur in a vision, put on a talit, acted like the chazan standing in front of the shul and called out the Yud Gimel Midot. And through this demonstration, Moshe Rabbeinu knew what to do and how to daven for Am Yisrael's forgiveness. Now, if I ask you, does Moshe Rabbeinu need a lesson in tefillah? I think we would all say no. We've heard Moshe Rabbeinu daven before, specifically on the Yam Suf, and we know that he knows how to daven. Why does he need a lesson? So Rav Hutner in the Pachad Yitzchak cites the Rashi that teaches us that the first two Shemot of Hashem in the Yud Gimel Midot is not just a repetition, but mean two very different things. The first Shem Hashem is Hashem's Midah of creation, that Hashem created the world. It's what we call the Shem Havaya, like Hoveh, Lehiyot, coming into existence. That's the first Shem Hashem. That is Kodem Hachet. The creation of the world in its entirety could have been sustained through this first Shem Hashem as long as there's no Chet. But then Rashi says the second Hashem, Hashem Hashem that we said so many times yesterday, is Hashem La'achar HaChet. The world, as it was created, could not have continued to exist by the first creation alone. The Pachad Yitzchak says that's what Rashi is teaching us here. How do we know this? We see this in the words. If you look in Source 8, Pachad Yitzchak, Ki halo lachar chet shel masa ha'egel ne'mar lo le'moshe hanichali. Hashem says, just let me. Ve'yichar api, and I will be angry. Bahem ve'achalem. I will finish them. I will destroy them. I will put an end to them. Here we see in the Psukim that there would have been the destruction of Am Yisrael without the lesson that Hashem teaches Moshe Rabbeinu demonstratively through putting on the talit in the vision and showing Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, there are Yud Gimel Midot. It's true that have we stopped after the first Shem Havaya, Am Yisrael would have been destroyed. But thankfully, there's the second Shem Havaya. There's Hashem after the Chet. And that's why tefillah for tshuva, points out the Pachad Yitzchak, is not the same as any other davening. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu needed a special demonstration of exactly how to daven when we daven for forgiveness. So at the moment that Am Yisrael is forgiven and the Ananim come back and they can see a testimony to the fact that they are forgiven, suddenly something new is nitchadesh at that moment. Suddenly, what becomes a fact that Am Yisrael becomes aware of is that the relationship has continuity. That the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way out in the case of sin. That the relationship with Hashem is eternal. I'm going to read from where I left off in that Pachad Yitzchak, Source 8. V'rak al yidei slichat chet ma'asei ha'egel nitzchadesh kiyuma v'nitzchiyota Shel Knesset Yisrael. Only through the Slicha of the Egel were we first made aware of the fact that Am Yisrael, its kiyum, its survival is guaranteed, and its eternal quality, Nitzchiyuta, is guaranteed. What a relief this must have been for Am Yisrael when they heard the words of Hashem that they could be destroyed. And now the Ananim come back and they see once again they're enveloped in Hashem's loving arms, in Hashem's protection once again. And the Vilna Gaon tells us that cited in Source 4 in Kol Eliyahu, which is an anthology of words of the Vilna Gaon, brought down from the Vilna Gaon on Shir HaShirim, Uvachamisha Sar Tchilu Lasot, when that's when they started putting together the Mishkan, started the process of making things for the Mishkan. Va'az chazru ha'anane kavod, u'lekach anu osim sukot v'tetvav v'tishrei. So the relationship with Hashem becomes aware that the relationship is permanent. It's very interesting that Yaakov Avinu is connected to the Chag of Sukkot. We could see this inside on the first source. V'Yaakov nasa sukota, v'yven lo bayit u'meknehu asa sukot. Al kein, kara shem hamakom, sukot. So we could think this is just, you know, sometimes there's a place and there's another word and they have the same name. But the Yalkut Shimoni brings down two different deyot. If you look in the next source, Sukkot Mamash Hayu, Shenemar VaYakov Nasa Sukkota, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. If you look directly under that, Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Sukkot, Ela Anane Kavod. That in fact the Sukkot that Yaakov Avinu is putting together or bringing down from Shamayim are those very Anane Kavod. Yaakov Avinu this way is connected by Chazal to Sukkot. We know the idea that Avram Avinu embodies the Midah of Chesed and Yitzchak the Midah of Gvura. And we always hear that Yaakov can blend the two. He's Emet. So what does that mean, that he can blend the two? So what it means that Avram Avinu is Chesed is that the way that Avram copies Hashem, he emulates Hashem in this world, is he emulates the aspect, the facet of Hashem, that is Chesed. That is how he brings Hashem's presence down to this world. That's what he emulates. Yitzchak, as opposed to Avram's acts of love and kindness, Yitzchak emulates Hashem's facet of Gevura through his self-control, through his restraint, through Yitzchak's Gevura. He brings Hashem down into this world. He emulates it, and so people can see the godliness in Hashem, godliness in Yitzchak, and then this aspect of Hashem. They each copy Hashem in different ways. What Yaakov does, I always thought this just means that he can do both. But the Pachad Yitzchak teaches that what Yaakov does is, it's not that he has chesed and gevura. That would be a misunderstanding. He doesn't emulate Hashem through chesed or gevura. He emulates the idea of emulating Hashem. What does this mean? It means that his midah is emulate Hashem. As we know, sometimes in life, what's appropriate in a particular circumstance is to do an act of chesed. But sometimes in life, what's needed is gevura. Yaakov doesn't have a particular inclination that draws him to perform his avodat Hashem, not through chesed specifically or gevura, but he is the idea, and this is a quote from Pachad Yitzchak, of dimoy hayotzer liyotzro. The ability for any creation, any of us, therefore, to just be emulating Hashem in balance, in whatever situation, to just be emulating Hashem. How does this connect to Sukkot? Well, that Midah Yaakov Avinu, it's so universally applicable, functions in all situations at all times. What we know about a Sukkot is that it is supposed to be a temporary structure. But really, that's an illusion. Because there's nothing more enduring than a temporary structure. What do I mean by that? You can have the biggest, safest, most secure mansion in the world. It's built on a foundation that roots it to one address, one little street, one little place in the world. But the sukkah, because of its temporary feature, can be taken wherever a person needs to go. The Anane Kavod, as we know, protected Am Yisrael from place to place to place. What if on one machaneh, one place that Am Yisrael rested, they would have said, you know what? We want a house. And they would have built houses. Well, that would have been pretty silly because they would have had to pick up and no more house. So Hashem provides them with this universal protection of the Anane Kavod. Hence the connection between Yaakov's universally applicable midah, and the holiday of Sukkot. So we learn here that because of all of our intense avodah yesterday and in the 40 days leading up to yesterday and Yom Kippur, so then we merit, because of Hashem's slicha that came on Yom Kippur, we merit the permanent protection that is symbolized in the Anane Kavod. Nowadays, no more Anane Kavod, but still the idea that they represent. Through acquiring Hashem's Slicha, we know that's it. Even though the Anane Kavod can leave, they can come back through our Avodah on Yom Kippur. This is similar to the idea, we know the Luchot were brought down, the second Luchot on Yom Kippur, if you look. In source 5, Bava Kama Nun Dalad Amud Bet. Sha'al Rabbi Chanina ben Agil et Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Mipnei ma b'dibrot harishonot lo ne'emar bahem tov, u'b'dibrot acharonot ne'emar bahem tov. Why is it that in the second set of Aseret HaDibrot, I think it's referring to where it says l'man yitav lach, we have the word tov, but not in the first? And the answer brought is ho'il v'sofan l'hishtaber, because the end that the first luchot were destined to meet was to be broken, the word tov cannot exist in relation to that. Anything that's not permanent has a flaw in it. It's kind of like being in a relationship with somebody and everything's going fine and well, could be with a friend, where they always say in a marriage, the most important thing is that first argument and you get past it, right? I squeeze the tube from the bottom, you squeeze the tube from the top, you get past that first argument, and then you know it will endure. Or in any relationship with anyone. When things are fine, they're fine. That's very nice. But to get to past the first argument and know that there's recourse, that there's something to do afterwards, that the relationship can endure, that's the idea symbolized by that Nenei Kavod. That's what we have to take with us throughout the year. Hashem has returned his protection to us. Now we're going to look at a totally different aspect that we learn not through the whole Sukkot, but through Hoshana Rabbah. And this aspect of holding on to Hashem's presence that we have so intensely in Tishrei and in Yom Kippur, all year long, this time, this aspect is going to be much more dependent on us rather than dependent on Hashem's forgiveness, his merciful restoration of his loving protection as embodied in the Anane Kavod. This time it's going to be far more dependent on us. A very interesting practice on Hoshana Rabbah. I'm going to read in the Mishnah. It's source 3, Mishnah Sukkah, Perek Dalid. Mitzvat Arava Ketzad. Makom haya lamata miyushalayim v'nefra motza. Yordin l'sham u'makaltin misham murbiyot shal Arava. Uba'in v'zok finotan. They would go and get an arava, and they would come and put it at the mizbeach, and it would be standing at the mizbeach, and the head of it would bow over the mizbeach. Taku vehiriu v'taku. V'chol yom makifin et hamizbeach pam achat. Every day of Sukkot, they would surround the mizbeach one time. V'omrim ana Hashem hoshiana, ana Hashem atzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ani v'hu hoshiana. V'otau ayom makifin et hamizbeach sheva pa'amim. So every day the procedure is, they surround the mizbeach one time. On Hoshana Rabbah, they surrounded the mizbeach 7 times. They would say, Ana Hashem hoshiana, but Rabbi Yehuda had a different nusach. Ana Hashem hoshiana means, please Hashem, save. The implication is, save us. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Ani v'hu hoshiana. Hashem, save me and him. The implication is that Hashem should be saved along with us. That's a very strange concept. We never think of Hashem as needing salvation. So we have really 2 questions about this very interesting procedure. First of all, why is it that on the last day we circled the Mizbeach 7 times instead of the one that we did every day prior to that, the one encircling? And the other question is, what could this possibly mean that we ask for Hashem's salvation? Our salvation, we understand. How in the world could Hashem possibly need salvation? So to answer this question of what's going on here with this interesting procedure, we're going to talk about one of the most, I think, interesting stories in the Torah. And that is the story of the Meraglim. Because I always felt really bad for the Meraglim. Does anybody else ever associate with them and feel bad for the Meraglim? I feel like this was like the ultimate sting operation of all times. You know, like when the police pretend they're a drug dealer and they go and they offer someone drugs and then they arrest the guy for buying drugs. I always think that's so unfair. Had the person ever had the nisayon to buy the drugs, maybe they would live till 120 and never buy drugs, but then the police sets them up, right? So the same thing seems to happen here, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says go, and by the way, the same questions that he gives them along those themes, when they come back and they answer those very questions, that's the Lashon Hara that they talk. I mean, there's no greater setup than this. And then, of course, they're punished, and all of Klal Yisrael, because of their reaction, is punished as well. So let's see what's going on here. I want to look at the reaction of Am Yisrael after the Meraglim get back. That's on the sheet with the Midbar Yadalid. Batisa kol ha'ida, vayitznu et kolam vayivku ha'am balayla ha'hu. Now, if I were them, and I was panicked and fearful about going into Eretz Yisrael, I would say, please, let me stay in the Midbar. Don't make me go into Eretz Yisrael. But that's not what they say. Vayilonu al Moshe v'al Aaron, kol b'nei Yisrael, vayomer aleihem kol ha'ida. Lu matnu be'eretz Mitzrayim, o b'midbar hazeh. Ah, we wish we would have met our end, lived until we could die, either, you have a choice, either in Mitzrayim or in this Midbar. So that's really very hard to understand. We understand wanting to live in the Midbar life forever, but what is it with Mitzrayim? Why do they wish that they would have never came out of Mitzrayim instead of having to go into Eretz Yisrael? So let's talk about life in the Midbar and life in Mitzrayim and why they're willing to give Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu those two options. So we know that life in the Midbar is totally miraculous. Okay? Man, water, anane kavod. When are they making this complaint, by the way? Okay? I'm actually not sure what time of day they're making this complaint. Okay? But right now, I think it's around 10:30 in the morning, and I can still feel breakfast. I'm a breakfast person. I don't need to eat the rest of the day, but I have breakfast, and I feel breakfast sitting right here. How long could it possibly have been since various people from Am Yisrael ate their man? They have the miracle sitting right there in their stomach. How long could it have been since they went and took their cup to a stream that is actually water shooting out of a rock, and take a drink of that water that was shooting out of a rock, that they need to forget already that Hashem has provided them with these miracles every single second since they came out of Mitzrayim, and they're so, so concerned with going into Eretz Yisrael? It's hard to understand. So that's the miraculous life that they're living on a constant basis in the Midbar. What about Mitzrayim? We know that when the Torah wants to describe something as being a beautiful natural scene, the ultimate in nature, it says, Kigan Hashem ke Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim, at least at the time, was lush and green. The way that they received their waters, as we know from Chazal, was that the Nile would overflow annually and predictably. Every single year at the same season, the Nile would overflow, providing them with enough water for all of their crops. So yes, they had to plant, but they always knew that the result of their planting would bring forth bountiful crops. It was the ultimate in nature, and it was a natural guarantee. Everyday food through nature. Always guaranteed, always predictable. Never did anybody need to notice either that Hashem is providing because of its predictable nature. So we have miraculous life where nobody ever has to plant in the Midbar, and we have the ultimate and natural life in Mitzrayim. And then Meraglim come back with an interesting report from Eretz Yisrael. They say, you know, this place is interesting. There's no man, there are fruit. But guess what? The grapes are the size of grapefruits, and the rimonim are the size of watermelons. So clearly there's nature, because there's food, not man. But clearly there's providence, because this is not normal food. This is food that has divine providence with it in its growing process all along the way. And they tell more and more features about this land that seems so natural, full of fortresses, full of man-made structures. That seems so natural, yet so strange. So not natural because Hashem's providence is there guiding the natural process at every step. That synthesis was very, very difficult for them to accept. Hence, Lumat nu beretz Mitzrayim o bamidbar hazeh. Now, the truth is that we could ask the question, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I mean, after all, if they are so aware of Hashem's constant presence at every moment in the Midbar, and every piece of food and drink that enters their mouths, they know, has come only through the miraculous provisions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and through His miracles and providence, they have an awareness and a contact with Hashem that maybe we've never had since then, maybe. Why would Hashem want to ruin that all and take Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael where they need to plant, right? They need to plant. It says, Limtar Hashemayim Tishtemayim. They're going to drink from rainwater, not a rock. But there's also this constant connection to Hashem and His providence where we know in Shema we say, guess what? The rain that's so natural, it's connected to your deeds. You're going to have to know that it's hashkacha pratit every step of the way. Hashem's, quote, natural provisions are totally dependent in Eretz Yisrael on your deeds. Hashem's watching all the time. Eretz Asher Inei Elokim Ba. All the time. So again, the question, why? Why ruin it all? So really, why ruin it all? Why go into Eretz Yisrael? It's the same thing as saying, why create a world? The world is a place like this where generally we're not in the Midbar for 40 years. And Hashem's hand is often hidden. And the Maharal teaches us that the word Olam, the root word, is Ne'alam. It's a world in which Hashem chose to hide His presence. Ne'alam, He is hidden by choice. So to answer the why live this way, why choose this instead of constant contact with Hashem in a miraculous way as we saw in the Midbar, we're going to resolve a conflict or a seeming conflict between two Gemaras that you will find, both of them, in Source 7. And I'm actually going to read the second one first, the one from Shabbos, Kuf Yud Chet Amud Bet. It's missing a word at the end. HaKore Halel B'chol Yom HaRezeh Mecharefu Megadef. Someone who says Halel, like we say Rosh Chodesh and other Chagim, every single day, he's considered blasphemous. He's really violating the name of Hashem if he says Halel every single day. And yet, we see in the Gemara in Brachot, right above it, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kol Ha'omer Tehillah LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pamim Muvtach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Someone who says Tehillah David, what we call Ashrei, three times a day, it is guaranteed that he is a Ben Olam Haba. Ashrei, as you know, praises Hashem. So we praise Hashem with Hallel, we're blasphemous. We praise Hashem through Ashrei, Ben Olam Haba. What could possibly be the difference? So the Meshech Chachma addresses that below. We'll get inside of it in a minute. He says that a person who says Hallel every day, what's Hallel about? Hayamra Avayanos. The ocean saw and ran away. It split open. These are very, very miraculous terms in which a person sees Hashem. That person who says Hallel every day, who the way that they relate to Hashem on a constant basis is through these very grand, special effects kind of displays of Hashem in a very miraculous way, this person is actually blasphemous. He sees Hashem only in these big, beautiful, special effects, spectacular nisim. Ashrei has the word kol in it 15 times. In Ashrei, we see that at every moment in the really mundane, humdrum, boring day-to-day life, Hashem is there providing all the time at every moment. The Gemara says that one of the reasons we say that this is true is because it's Keseder Alphabet. It's the normal, regimented way that Hashem runs the world through nature, a little mundane, a little boring, right? But the person who sees the coal, right? The potech yadecho must be a whole high ratzon. Okay? The Meshech Chachma says it's so beautiful, so beautifully. Inyan ha-nifla be-hateva hu ha-azana ha-tzmidit. I'm on the left side, kind of at the beginning of Meshech Chachma. Just ha-tivi eno min ha-pela kemo manu ki yotzevu. He's contrasting the regular natural to the man. Aval inyan ha-nifla be-hateva hu ha-azana ha-tzmidit. Providing for us constantly. Shezekium ha-nimtaim v'akavat ha-nifredim u-bederech tivi kol yom kavua. Hazana alfei alafim. We should change that to billionay billionim. Bilim isparnim tzaim. Mazon asher kol achad yizon min hateva. That's amazing. Everything, the whole ecosystem, everything, every single day, everyone is provided for. The person who relates to Hashem in that way, who sees Hashem through the mundane, sees that at every moment of the day, all of his protection, all of his food, everything he needs on a spiritual, emotional, physical level is coming directly from Hashem. That person, he might be walking around down here on earth, but at every moment, he's already a Ben Olam Haba. He's functioning in a different spiritual sphere. I want to look inside in the Meshech Chachma on the right side. I'm right after a little number one footnote. I'm going to read a big piece and then translate it. Ha'inyan ta'hanhaga ha'nisi'it hi eina tachlitit. Miraculous behavior of Hashem is not the ultimate. It's not the goal. Shashem bara ha'olam shetiznehig be'ofen ha'teva. Hashem created the world that it should be able to function through nature. Asher hi bat Elokim. This is the daughter of Hashem. V'chol tachil. Shemidata Yachol hiot beofen bracha nifritza v'osher meruba ad bli dai. The bracha could be enormous and spread out without limits. Rak beofen shem yakir ha'adam ki hi einena rak hashkacha prati'it al kol prat. If a person realizes that it's just hashkacha, v'teva hu rak nisim ritzufim. He says nature itself is only continuous, constant miracles. Asher mitragel ayin haro'eh. That the eye of the viewer becomes very used to. Kasher yelecha adam bidarchei Hashem b'mishor gam be'ofen tivi yuchal hitbarech. When a person does what he's supposed to do, follows in the ways of Hashem on a straight path, in the natural way, he could be blessed. Through nature, he could be blessed. Ubazenet barchu Yisrael im bechukotai teilecho. As gam chukot shamayim va'aretz yelchu b'mishor. The heavens and the earth, like we said before, when we cited the pasuk from Shema, are going to follow. They're going to function through nature. They're going to provide rain, but they're going to follow the actions of man. So the people need to recognize that it's Hashem providing based on their hanhaga. Ki chol darchei hateva lefi masha sidra otam hachachma ha'elokit mechuvenet. All of nature is directly connected and directed by the mitzvot in the Torah. So that we don't forget that there's actually a God running things and pulling the strings. The reason there are nisim is to draw our eye to the fact that there's actually constant providence going on. That's the resolution between the conflict between saying Ashrei and Hallel. A person who can only relate to Hashem through Nisim is a mecharev u'megadef. It means that he's not seeing Hashem in his life. But the person who sees Hashem kol 15 times in Ashrei, all the time, through the mundane, on a regular basis, in his life constantly, this person, his head is in a very spiritual place. He's a Ben Olam Haba, that we're translating not just to mean as someone who will one day be worthy of Olam Haba, but right now it says, who Ben Olam Haba? It doesn't say Yichakelo Be'atid Lavo Chilek Le'olam Haba Yishlo Chilek Le'olam Haba. It says he is a Ben Olam Haba. He's already in the Olam Haba mindset. He's in the spiritual mindset. This is why Hashem created the world. This is why he brought us into Eretz Yisrael. To be able to see the Yad Hashem in the miraculous and in the nature. And in the combination that is life in Eretz Yisrael. So when Am Yisrael complained, and they're panic-stricken, absolutely panic-stricken, at the report about a land that has nature but clearly undeniable Yad Hashem and providence over it, watching over it, they ask because they know and they're very self-aware about what it is that's upsetting them and that's sending them into pandemonium, and that is, they ask, they say, Hashem, please, lu matnu b'mitzrayim o b'midbar. We can take either way. Give us predictable nature where it's not up to us to see you, has nothing to do with our actions. Give us, on the other hand, constant miracles. The challenge of us seeing Hashem in a natural circumstance, in Eretz Yisrael, in the world, the Olam Ne'alam, on one level, but on a much higher level, because we know there's such intense Hashkacha Pratit. Just be attuned. When you're here in Eretz Yisrael, you will see that there's such an extra tangible hashkacha that we could all feel here. It doesn't mean that things always go our way, but it means that whatever way it goes is Hashem's way. There's the constant hashkacha here that we need to be able to see in nature. That challenge is a very difficult challenge for Am Yisrael at this point to face. What's Hashem's response to them? Hashem's response is very interesting. We have here the Pesukim describing Moshe Rabbeinu davening for them. Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We have Pasuk Yotet Tzvach Na Lavon Ha'am Hazeh Ki Gozal Chastecha V'Kasher Nasata La'am Hazeh Mi Mitzrayim V'Ad Hina V'Yom Hashem Salachti Kedvarecha. That could be the end of this conversation. But Hashem says, as an epilogue, guess what? In spite of all this, in spite of what's going to happen now because of the Meraglim, in spite of what the Meraglim, of what Am Yisrael wants, Mitzrayim or Midbar, next Pasuk, V'ulam chayani v'imalei chavod Hashem et kol ha'aretz. Hashem says, by the way, I forgive them, but by the way, Hashem says, he swears that the presence of Hashem, kavod Hashem, is going to fill where? The land. My plan will happen, Hashem says. It's not going to work with these people anymore, with this generation. But what does Hashem say as the epilogue to the forgiveness? I forgive. They're not going to be the ones who are up to this task. But I promise that still the plan is going to go ahead. My presence, Hashem says, is going to fill the very physical aretz of Eretz Yisrael. And it's going to be up to you to see Hashem's presence. The punishment fits directly into the crime, so to speak, here. The Midbar, we know, is filled with miracles and even miraculous punishments. For example, the earth opening up to swallow Adat Korach. But Hashem promises here the opposite. If you look in the underlined psukim down at Chavtet, Hashem says more than once, first in Chavtet, Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pigrechem. Nothing too exciting about that. You know what's going to happen to this door that did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? They're going to meet natural deaths. They're going to meet very natural deaths. They wanted nature. They're going to meet their natural death in the Midbar. Again, in Pasuk Lamed Bet, almost a complete repetition. Ufigrechem atem yiplu b'midbar hazeh. Again, they're going to meet very natural, unmiraculous deaths as their punishment right here in the Midbar. Let's go back to our very interesting procedure that we have on Hoshana Rabbah. So again, what we have is we encircle the Mizbeach every single day one time. Hoshana Rabbah, which is the last day of Sukkot, it is encircled seven times. What is called out is Ana Hashem Hoshiana, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ani V'ho Hoshiana, Ani v'hu Hoshiana. And it's encircled seven times. Now, what I didn't tell you is that there's something, just like there's an increase, a daily increase, not a daily increase, sorry, there's the ultimate increase of the encircling of the Mizbeach from one time to seven times. There's also a daily decrease happening each day of Sukkot. And what is that daily decrease? On the first day of Sukkot, there are 13 bulls brought in the karban. On the second day of Sukkot, there are 12 brought. On the third day, 11, v'chulei. Each day, the amount of the parot, of the parim brought, diminishes from 13 until finally it gets down, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Down to 7 bulls being brought on Hoshana Rabbah. So there seems to be an inverse correlation between the amount of the karbanot, specifically the bulls being brought, and the encircling of the Mizbeach on Hoshana Rabbah. So what's going on here? So we all feel this, right? We all feel this after Yom Kippur. There's this diminishing of the intensity of our Avodah Hashem. Everybody's trying so good, so hard to be good, to do what they can, to do tshuva, to intensify our relationship with Hashem. And we know from Hashem's perspective, Kiru bioto karov, Hashem is much closer to us during Chodesh Elul and Asarah Yimei Tshuva. And then boom, it feels like it all ends. So maybe not boom all at once, but the diminishing of the number of karbanot symbolize the lessening of this service to Hashem, going down, 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 as we get further and further away from Yom Kippur and closer to the rest of the mundane year. The service seems to diminish in the number. So what do we do? Instead of surrounding the Mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash one time, finally, at that day, on that last sad day, when there are the least amount of bulls being brought in the Avodah, what happens? We encircle the Mizbeach seven times. Why? Encircling is symbolic of taking something into my possession. I don't so much mean this as ownership, but into something that I'm going to embrace. It says that when the Kohen Gadol would say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana in the Beit HaMikdash, his voice reverberated and could be heard all the way to where? To where? Well, if I wanted to illustrate that it could be heard far away, I'm really not very good with the map in Eretz Yisrael, but I would at least say all the way to the Golan, all the way down to the Negev. What is it about Yericho? It says that the Kohen's voice could be heard all the way to Yericho. Why Yericho? What's Yericho? What significance does Yericho have? Well, when we're talking about encircling, what do we know about encircling in Yericho? Well, when Am Yisrael entered, right, in Sefer Yehoshua, when Am Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael, the first place that they conquer, remember the Meraglim went to Yericho, the first place that they conquer is Yericho, and what are they told to do? They encircle Yericho. Yericho is the first place that they conquer. Remember, what are we supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael? Well, it's not the Midbar. It's not Mitzrayim. There is divine presence, but it's up to human initiative to reveal it, to see the divine presence, and to take it, so to speak, into our embrace, our possession. It's our job to reveal and connect to that divine presence. So in the very first time that they enter and take possession of the land, what do? They encircle Yericho to symbolically say, this is what we do in Eretz Yisrael. It's up to us. We're going to take hold of Hashem. We're going to see Hashem's presence and grab onto it, connect it, and embrace it. Hence, as the avodah diminishes day after day, instead of one time, we encircle the Mizbeach 7 times, taking it into our possession, saying the avodah of Tishrei might be going away, and that kind of feeling of connection to Hashem that's initiated by Hashem might be going away, and it might be diminishing daily, but now it's up to us. As Tishrei fades into our memories, we have Hoshana Rabbah teaching us it's up to us. That it's up to us at that last moment that it's leaving us to embrace it and to hold on to it. And as the service ends, and Hashem's requirements of us to come closer to Him with His assistance, of Him being karov to us, as His revealed presence diminishes, it's up to us to encircle it at that last moment and take it into our hold, into our possession. Meaning, practically speaking, that through Elul and Tishrei, Hashem does a lot of the job in letting us, in enabling us come close to Him. Our job, as soon as that tkufa in our year ends, is for us to be constantly aware of watching for Hashem's presence, hashkacha, connection to us in our lives, and to embrace it and hold on to it, but to know that it has to be with the human initiative. It's up to us to hold on to it. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda, my father, Rabbi Pupko, says that Rabbi, to say it in the name of who said it, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ani v'ho hoshia na. Rabbi Yehuda says, when we're asking for Hashem's salvation on Hoshana Rabbah, we're really asking for Hashem's salvation. Because when Hashem chooses to create a world where He's Ne'alam, or chooses to bring Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, where He's going to be providentially behind what looks like natural causes, Hashem needs salvation, kiviyachol. Hashem's revelation in this world and in Eretz Yisrael and in nature is calling out, Ani v'hu hoshia na. Hashem's presence requires our salvation. So just to tie it all together, we have the Anane Kavod that returned to us, and the Pachad Yitzchak, citing the Vilna Gaon, who tells us that we're celebrating on Sukkot, the return of the Anane Kavod, tells us that this is the most important thing, because here we know that even after the Chet, there's Shem Hashem, the second time, Shem Hashem, that is a new Havaya, creation that could exist after the Chet, enabling the permanent protection of the Shechina of the Anane Kavod. And this is symbolized in the Chag of Sukkot, that happens on the day that the Ananim return, so that we know that it's enduring. So too, Hashem gives us that protection as a gift after the intense avodah of Yom Kippur, when He forgives us. He doesn't just forgive us, He surrounds us by His loving embrace and His protection. Although we had to do tshuva, that's very much initiated by Hashem, that whole Anane Kavod relationship. But then symbolized in the avodah of Hoshana Rabbah, and as we learn through the story of the Meraglim, we have the idea that it's up to us on Hoshana Rabbah. We need to, as Tishrei fades into our memories, we need to hold on to it, we need to make the decision, because it depends, because Hashem's presence depends on the extent of our human initiative and our human awareness. We have to open up our eyes and say, from this day forward this year, it depends on me. Hashem's presence is still here, but I need to look for it and strive for that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hopefully this way, for the rest of the year, we can hold on to everything that we accomplished through our avoda in Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and we should all have a very meaningful Sukkot and Hoshana Rabbah as we do that. Thank you.
tied down because they were like men high enough or anything. We're like able to hear.
It's still recording and I don't know how to stop it.
How do we stop it? It's recording all this. I don't know how to work it.
Okay. 50 minutes.
How do I cut off part of recording now when I load it on the website?